the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
Well, let's step out of the kitchen and into the garden today, even if it's a very small garden, because we might all dream of having a big garden with rolling lawns and water features and big trees to provide shade. But the reality is that most of us don't have that, and we live in homes with small or very limited outdoor space. That doesn't mean you cannot make it absolutely fabulous. And today in our home and garden feature, I'm delighted to welcome a guest who is an expert in making the most of small space gardens. Her name is Angela McQueen, and she specializes in creating resilient gardens out of smaller spaces. Angela has a qualification in permaculture design, so she's very much in the mindset of integrating people and their needs with their outdoor spaces. Angela, it's lovely to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks so much. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Where did your interest in gardening come from, Angela?
Oh, gosh. Well, basically from childhood, essentially. I was always the youngster who had a little veggie garden in the backyard, it's always sort of been there with me, and I had a very different sort of career trajectory, but I came back to that again a number of years ago with my own garden. Must be about 15 years ago now. And that just progressed into making it a career path. And continuing on that side
Amazing.
Of things and into the garden side. And I've learned a lot, obviously, within my own space. And so I use that knowledge to, help people with their own little spaces as well.
Emphasis on little spaces. Angela, is that because you've physically got a little space, or is it just because you realize there's so many people who need to work within the confines of limited space?
I do relatively have a small suburban garden, which I think, a lot of people do have. Within that very small spaces as well. So yes, part of that was very much about sort of working within the sort of urban environment, very built up environment. And now, obviously people are moving into even smaller and smaller areas. Very much about, from my own experience within those areas.
So let's talk about the small garden space. I mean, it comes with a unique set of challenges. You don't have to worry about pacing the garden, spending hours and hours watering it because it's so big, but it comes with its own particular challenges. Tell us a little bit about them.
It does, yes. It's a very different mindset when landscaping a little area to doing a much larger garden. So in a built-up space, you often have things like microclimates, which within a large area, you have specific little climates within that. So areas that get a lot of shade, some that get very, very hot, depending on the season. Those areas can be hot in summer, but very, very shady and cold in winter.
Yep.
So all of those sort of aspects make a small space quite challenging. And then, within a small space, you've got to be very careful of what you bring into that so that it doesn't become a problem long term.
What, for example, might become a problem? Are you talking about, for example, a tree whose roots might grow and take over the whole space, or plants that might just grow too fast? Angela, give us some examples.
Yeah, so the mature size, so when if we want to talk about plants specifically, looking at the mature size of a plant is always very important. So often people go to a nursery, they see a plant in its, as a small plant and it looks great, but they don't really realize how large it will become over the years. And so that can be problematic in a small area. You mentioned invasive roots,
etc.
Yes. So for instance, with bringing in smaller trees and whatnot, you need to be aware of the root growth of those particular trees, because that can make a big difference for sure.
It's lovely, though, that you can consider having a tree even in a small garden. Angela, which ones tend to be useful in small spaces, so aren't going to have the big, expansive, invasive root system, but can be managed in a small environment?
And so there are some lovely little trees, and particularly indigenous trees that you can use. One of my favorites is called a lavender tree. The reason why it's called lavender tree is because when the leaves are crushed, it has a lavender smell.
Mm-hmm.
They're very pretty little trees. I like to use trees that are very wildlife friendly and attract a lot of different wildlife, birds and pollinators, etc. The lavender tree is deciduous as well, and that's something that people can use within a space is use a tree functionally. So if you're wanting shade and coolness in summer, a deciduous tree can provide that in summer, but then in winter, when it loses its leaves, it allows the sun through.
Yeah.
So in your area in wintertime, you can allow that. So that little tree is lovely, very attractive as well. Ones like a white pear, that's your Apodites, are lovely as well. Also, non-invasive roots, you can put them next to pools. They're very, you know, they have very, they're not very messy. There's not messy fruit and leaves. The tree fuchsia as well is also very attractive. Pollinators and wildlife absolutely love it.
Oh, gorgeous.
And then for shade areas, so if you do have a particularly protected area, the little bladder nut is a lovely little shade. It's an understory shade tree.
Yeah.
Very attractive, sort of glossy leaves and an interesting little seed or flower head. That's why it's called a bladder nut.
Yeah.
So those are lovely as well. But there's quite a number of smaller options. And you can also look at some exotics as well.
Yeah.
That are a little bit more suited to a smaller area, for
okay.
sure.
Yeah. One of the clever things, I mean, looking at your website and looking at some of the designs on display there, the one thing that caught my eye is the clever way you use vertical layering, if I can put it that way, Angela, because even if it's a small space, you've probably got a back wall, or, you know, you can build the garden up as well as simply planting what's on the ground. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about how to do that effectively in a small space?
Yes, so obviously dominated, you know, smaller spaces being dominated by walls, that is always a challenge as
yeah.
well. So, you know, you can get really creative with vertical planting and, you know, do with DIY type little structures. So obviously trellising is a very common way of allowing creepers to grow up walls and whatnot. But you can, you know, you can do anything from having little pot holders, so where pot holders on the wall where you can do a sort of a mix of different little terracotta pots with different items in it.
Yeah.
There's also the use of recycling old pallets. Shelving as well is also yeah. lovely to put on a wall with various trinkets and maybe pieces of interest and objet d'art, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, and also your hanging baskets. You know, if there's anything you can hang something from, so whether it be the end of you know, a pergola or the end of your roof, or even having a little sort of hangers from walls where you can hang your baskets and whatnot, is also a lovely way of just adding a bit of interest but also using that vertical space.
Okay. Just for those who might have come in late to the segment, my guest on the line today is Angela McQueen of Small Space Gardens. That's the name of her business. The website is smallspacegardens.co.za. She's based in the southern suburbs of Cape Town and really is an expert in dealing with small spaces and maximizing the use of small spaces to make a beautiful garden. One of our listeners asking on the WhatsApp line, Angela, for some advice on trees that you can put into pots. Obviously, planting in pots is a winner for many people with limited garden space. Even if you restricted to a balcony, that's something you can use to create a little garden for yourself. Trees in pots, I mean, do they survive in pots?
Yes. That's actually a way that you can utilize trees in a small space, for
yep.
sure. And for one of the trees I forgot to mention, or type of trees, is your fruit trees.
Yeah.
So a lot of citrus trees and that olive trees do quite well in pots.
Okay.
And then you also do have trees like your tree fuchsia, the Hilaria. They do well in pots as well.
Okay.
Even if you like something for a bit of height and but it's also a bit of architectural structure, so your aloes, your aloe barbarae, which yeah. is your tree aloes, add a lovely sort of, you know, depending on the style that you want for your space. There's certain trees that certainly can manage in pots, for sure.
Okay.
The larger the pot, certainly, you know, obviously the larger the tree.
Yeah.
And it is best to have a decent sized pot for a tree,
okay.
for sure.
Then let's talk a little bit about tricking the eye, if you can call it that. Angela, if you've got a small space, but you want to try and make it look bigger than it really is there any strategy behind that you can recommend?
Yeah, very much so. So, as I mentioned before, obviously small spaces are quite dominated by walls.
Yeah.
And so one of the tricks to make an area look smaller, larger, is to actually try and blur those boundaries. So it's very much a fallacy that if you have much larger borders, that your garden will actually feel smaller. If you can sort of blur... when you walk out into your garden, if your eye doesn't immediately is not able to see the walls or the boundaries straight away, then it gives that illusion of a larger space. So in ways in which you can do that is, for instance, to paint a wall. So if you have, especially if they're in not very attractive walls, some wall that you want to really hide, is to maybe paint it a darker color. A very trendy color at the moment is your charcoal grays.
Okay.
But also, that might be quite trendy, but if you like to go with more of a classic dark green or something like that, which actually makes the wall recede into the background.
Okay.
So it's not a feature. It actually just recedes and actually gives that illusion of a larger space.
Interesting.
And also planting plants and trees closer to your home as well. So not just focusing on the very outer aspects of the garden, but bringing them closer in also gives that illusion. So the eye doesn't immediately go to the boundary.
Yeah.
You give that, that illusion basically. So, and I've had that in various, with various clients where they're quite amazed at how that works.
Yeah.
And they felt that they're maybe, too close and it'll feel too claustrophobic, but it was certainly on the contrary.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at a photograph on your site, Angela, of what looks like a spring meadow. I mean, it's somebody's very tiny backyard, I think. It's got a couple of sort of, there's some lovely log sort of stepping stones through the middle, and there is just this cacophony of plants and flowers, and it looks like there's a little planting box it could even be lettuce growing in it. There are a few plants that are growing at a high height, and there's a few that are at ankle height, and there's some succulents. And I mean, I'm looking at this space thinking, if it was stripped of all of those plants, it would be a tiny pokey alleyway of a back garden, and you've managed to make it look like a wild meadow. I mean, it's exactly what you're talking about. There is very blurred lines of where the garden starts and the wall ends, and where the footpath runs. It's sort of half hidden. It's such an amazing demonstration of the optical illusion you've been talking about.
Well, thank you. Yeah, one of my loves is to try and replicate a bit of a meadow feel within a small space. And it certainly doesn't have to. Meadows are obviously very associated with your English country garden,
yes,
which in our water stressed, quite sometimes quite harsh climates, we can't, look at that sort of thing. But you can use certain plants that have that look and feel, but that are more suited to our Mediterranean climate, which is your dry summers, dry windy summers and your wet winters.
Yeah.
So, yes, and again, I think with that, particularly if it's the garden that I'm thinking of as well, the curved paths, bringing in a bit of shape as well, also blurs, lines. And then, you're sort of tempted to want to go and meander to see what's around the corner, sort of thing. And then we're placing pieces of functional pieces as well. So in a small space, it's important to ask yourself how you want to use it.
Yeah.
So this client wanted to have a few veggies close to her kitchen. So we placed the vegetable box, which is in close proximity to where she is there.
Right.
And then other little pieces of interest, so pots and things like that along the way. So it just kind of draws you into the garden. And again, you're not looking at the walls. You're looking at what's going on of interest in the garden, essentially,
I mean, it looks like a place I'd like to lie down and fall asleep in an afternoon in the sunshine. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And as you said, I mean, save us from the tyranny of the right angle and the 90-degree beds. It is that curvy sort of meandering look that really draws you in with such effect. It's a really, really smart design. Angela, the time has flown away from us. You've given us so much helpful advice today. Thank you very, very much. I'd like to leave our listeners with a way to contact you if they're listening to this going, this is the person I need to talk to design my small garden. How do our listeners make contact with you?
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Pippa. Yes, I'm available. Obviously, my website, which you've mentioned. I'm also on Instagram, where you can actually see some of my latest projects.
Okay.
That's Small Space Gardens with an S on the end. And then on Facebook as well. So that's Small Space Gardens, CT for Cape Town.
Angela McQueen.
And yeah, that's how you can, contact me from those platforms for sure.
And we'll contact you again. I hope to bring you back on the show. Angela, thank you so much for your help today. Angela McQueen of Small Space Gardens, and that website once again, smallspacegardens.co.za.